Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Hey, look at all these people coming to your site. You're not grabbing their email address. What are you doing? You have to talk to these people, right? And you spend the time to start building out email sequences, having email captures. Maybe you have a quiz funnel, something John's going to be talking about probably today as we're recording this here at the live event.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. Last podcast, we talked about how long does it take to be profitable. And this question comes from John Grant, and it's how do we increase profitability? So John actually is one of our partners, and we've helped him with this. So this podcast will be timely there. And in that last podcast, we talked about how breaking even right away is actually a really good thing. And then slowly but surely, you will tick up that profitability mark. And I kind of want to talk about why that is. Why do we go through that journey, and why isn't it like super profitable in the beginning? And then how do we increase profitability as we go? And I think there are a lot of levers you can pull along the way, but maybe you want to touch on, John, why are you not like, as you start break even, why is it like slowly coming together? Is it because we're only running ads? Is that the main reason that at the beginning we're just paying to acquire all this traffic?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. That's a large part of it. In the beginning, you are solely reliant on paid traffic. You know, I mean, you can't have organic traffic that you're not paying directly for the day you open your site. So we run ads, and ads obviously have a cost. And I think you're still getting a lot of things right in your business. Like, you're still working out, like, what's your offer? What's the best way to sell my products? What search terms are my products actually going to sell off? Like, my ad targeting. There's a lot of like just little optimizations that you kind of go through probably in your first few months, to be honest, at least. I mean, it's an ongoing process, but you jump some big gaps early on. And, you know, things aren't always exactly the way they need to be the day you open your site, and you make those improvements over time. And so your profitability gets better as a result of that. And so, you know, your business becomes more trustworthy. You know, the day you open, nobody's seen or heard of your business before. You know what I mean? Your customer service gets better. You put in better practices to sell more products to people when they call in. You're going to start doing things like remarketing and retargeting and email marketing. So over time, all of these things kind of start contributing together. And I think your profitability in a lot of the time, you know, naturally can go up. But there are a lot of options, I think, available to you to, boost your profitability, which is a good thing. You know, it's not like you're going to get into that scenario and be like, oh, I'm stuck for ideas on what to do here. Sometimes it can be a case of there's too many things to do and I don't know where to start, realistically. To me, I think, yeah, there's quite a few ways. Obviously,
there's so many. You're getting caught up here.
Yeah, I'm getting caught up here. Like, where do you even start this conversation?
Yeah, I'd probably go back to the beginning. Like, I think you kind of walk through it.
Right now, we're at our Dropship Breakthrough Live event in Salt Lake City, and we'd like to see you at our next live events next year. To do that, to get there, you need to start building and launching your own high-ticket dropshipping business. And in celebration of our current live event, we've got a special promotion running now on Dropship Breakthrough membership, where you can come and learn how to build, launch, and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business with the support of myself and Ben and our huge community of successful high-ticket dropshippers. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/SLC to find one of our best deals of the year, where you can get in, you can start building your own high-ticket dropshipping business today, and hopefully we'll see you next year at our next live event.
If you think about the business, what are you doing? You're running Google Shopping ads and you're running exact terms, brand name, product name. You're trying to get people to the product page, right? You're probably going to get a sale or two from that. what's the next step? You got to work on your offer. You need to make sure that your offer is as good as the marketplace and work on your, you're getting the right traffic to the right pages. Now you work on your offer, you convert to more people, you drive people to phone calls. Like that's kind of the next step of the puzzle, right? So then you make a few more sales. And if you make a few more sales on a similar ad spend, now you've somehow, you know, you've crossed that profitability threshold, right? From there, you still have this giant bucket of traffic that has like, it's, there's holes everywhere in it, right? These people are coming once on a brand name, product name. They're not converting. You're pissed because you're like, they searched this. Why aren't they buying? Well, most people don't buy on first visit, right? And so then you circle back to our course where you work through the remarketing module. Now, when somebody comes to your site and they go back to Google and search something else, or they go to a blog, or they go to Facebook or Instagram, they're seeing your ad and going, oh yeah, I did have that in my cart. And then, you know, Sally started throwing up or whatever. I had to put the kids to bed and I kind of forgot about it, or I fell asleep or whatever happened. That might bring some more people back, right? So once you can bring back a few of those people at a reduced cost because you're remarketing, now your profitability sneaks up a little bit more, right? At that point, John's barking at you saying, hey, look at all these people coming to your site. You're not grabbing their email address. What are you doing? You have to talk to these people, right? And you spend the time to start building out email sequences, having email captures. Maybe you have a quiz funnel, something John's going to be talking about probably today as we're recording this here at the live event. And so at that point, now you're getting more traffic in or the same traffic in, but you're converting more of those people by getting them on your email sequence, by remarketing to them, by sending them through a quiz to make sure they know what they want, by sending people two phone calls. And this process just continues as you iterate and iterate and iterate along, making sure that you have no holes in your buckets. And then you start getting to that place of like, what do I do now, right? Do I focus on SEO to drive more free traffic, right? To increase that traffic part of the equation, or do I expand my ads to hit more top of the funnel keywords so that I can work them through that email marketing, through that quiz? There's probably even more options than that, but I think those first few steps are pretty critical from taking you to from breaking even to 5% to 10%, maybe even getting to that 15% threshold before then you can really start maximizing some of the levers. But you know, to your point, John, there's only three ways to grow a business. And so you kind of have to think through that lens. Which one am I focusing on? Am I getting more customers? Am I making that customer worth more? Or am I selling more to the current customers that I have? In the beginning, it's just, you got to get more customers and you have to make sure that you're, my friend George always said, when 100 people come to your site, 100 people have raised their hand and said, I'm interested in what you're selling. And likely you're converting one of those. So how are you letting those 99 other people just walk away and not get served by you? You need to focus on that, right? Through remarketing, through email marketing, things like that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think we talk a lot about on the show the three main ways that you can grow a business. And I think there's really, you know, there are so many different things you can do to increase your profitability. And the answer is a little bit different when you're at the start of the journey to if you're in the case of like John, I think, who asked the question, who's done, you know, multiple millions in revenue through his store, right? There's levels to this question, I think. But I think you can kind of boil it down into how to increase your profitability into three kind of buckets. The first one is to increase your conversion rate, right? The second one is to get a better margin from your suppliers. And I think the third one that I think we see a lot of people doing is to increase your average order value. Right, through things like bundles, upsells, because the cool thing with high ticket dropshipping and what you see often if you went like I dive into people's reports and analytics all the time, I love to do that, and you'll see people's profitability. They're like, I don't know why I'm really profitable this month, but I'm not so profitable the next month, and then the month after that, my profitability is better. And when you look at it, are they doing anything different? The only thing they did different was they sold different products each month. So with one of these businesses, like you're going to have some products which are like $2,000 and have a 25% net gross margin, and you're going to have some products that are like $5,000 and have, you know, a 25% margin. Now it sounds like the same margin in percentage terms. But when you look at the dollars, which is actually what you look at when you look at your profitability, you're looking at a dollar figure. You're not looking at percentages. Percentages are pointless in this conversation, right? It's all about the dollar term number. If you sell more of those $5,000 products at 25% margin, your profitability is going to be way higher than the lower ticket products. And so, you know, finding ways that you can focus on the products that actually produce more profit for you, or just creating products like bundles and things that are more profitable is a really good way to do it. You talked a lot about increasing your conversion rate. And I think in the beginning, that's probably mainly like fixing the leaky bucket and all of that. That's kind of where your focus is very heavily if you're at the start of the journey. But as your business gets bigger, you actually exhaust a lot of those options, right? So if you, as your business grows, you've got to look at other opportunities. Can I buy products on in bulk? Can I private label products to get a better margin? Can you go to your suppliers and ask for a better margin? Yes, you can. You always can if you think it's warranted. If you've done the numbers on a product and the profitability is not great, and as a result, you don't want to sell it so much, can you go to your suppliers and say, hey, man, this is what the numbers look like. We really want to push your products harder, but to do that, we need to spend more, you know, on marketing, on, you know, whatever it might be. And so we'd like to talk about increasing this margin so that we can push harder on your products because we really like them. You can have that conversation. You can actually have it earlier than you think. You can't have it the day you sign up with a supplier because there is no relationship at that point and they have no reason to give you a better margin. You've essentially done nothing for them at that point. You're not in a position where you have any power in the relationship. But once you've started making some sales, you know, if once again, if the numbers aren't stacking up particularly well, which sometimes they don't, you can start having that conversation pretty early on. Like you don't have to wait till you've sold, you know, millions of dollars for them or something like that. You can do it much earlier on, I think. And that's a very real way that you can get an extra, you know, 5%, sometimes more in the relationship. And once you've made some sales and the supplier can look at you and go, hey, yeah, this person's serious. I can see the value here in this relationship and deepening that, then, you know, not always, but a lot of the time you'll get some, you know, a bit of assistance from them in that way.
I love the point you touched on there of you know, bundles is one of my favorite things that you can touch on, but really focusing on the right products. I think I've consulted with a lot of people. We've got some partners where this has happened and students where this has happened where they've, I don't want to say they struck gold, but you know, often there's an 80-20 to your products, right? 20% of your products will bring 80% of your revenue.
Yeah.
And they'll hone in and be like, man, I sell a ton of these products. And then we'll look and be like, you don't really make any money selling these products, right? Like you sell a ton of them and you're like, how do I increase profitability? And sometimes there's not a lever that you can pull other than reaching out to your supplier and asking for better margins. And as you look through, so we'll take the spreadsheet. We give away a spreadsheet in the course here for your bookkeeping. I use one that's very similar as well. And you can take that and again, sort the columns, change, you know, green to red, you know, green above whatever, 20% and red below 5%. And like you said, use dollar amounts too to do this. And you'll find out, you'll be like, well, that product I sell a ton of, I don't make any money. And these other products, I make a ton of money. But you'll find that, like, again, we tell you this game's between your ears. You'll find that when that shows up, you'll be like, oh, I can't turn off the ads to this product. It's my best-selling product, even though it makes you no money, right? And it's hard for your ego to go from 100K revenue in a month and making, you know, $5,000 to go back down to $60,000, but you made $10,000. And it's totally possible to do that. Mm. You just have to, like, you know, focus where you want to focus. But I would encourage you as well, reach out to your suppliers. Bundles have been huge for me in the past, John. I don't think all products set up super well for enormous bundles. They should certainly have some things that go with them. But most of the time, you sell a product and the consumer is buying your product and then probably buying two or three other things. And it might not be the accessories for your product like you're thinking. It might just be something else they need. You know, if you sold a big exercise bike, they're probably buying a mat from somewhere to put on their carpet in their basement before they set it down, right? You know, pellet grills, I gave away a lot of grill covers. That was an easy one in the golf simulator space. There was all sorts of products like ball holders and you know, the mats on which they hit, the projector covers, the landing pads. There was all sorts. We ended up like private labeling gaming computers by the time I left the company. And so I think there's an opportunity for you to really think through the who, what is the problem they're trying to solve? And can you answer some of those other parts of the equation and really make a bundle that one, you know, you make more money on and two helps your customer far, far more. And three makes your offer irresistible in the marketplace because you're truly solving that problem.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, those are all great ideas. And this is where talking to your customer also comes into the equation. Like if you do, like one thing we say people should do in our program is like, particularly in the beginning of your business, is call every customer after they've received their order and have a chat with them. Do like a post-sale support kind of call. And you could do this yourself as the business owner. I think that's a good idea in the beginning because you're going to get to know your customer much better. But further down the track, you can get, you know, if you've got a customer service employee, you can get them to do it for you. And, you know, follow up with them and see, like, you can ask them, like, you know, do you need anything else? Is there anything else we can help you with? You know, is there anything else that you're looking to get that kind of fits in the whatever this space is that you occupy as a business, whatever your niche is? Because, your customers are going to tell you and give you insight into, like, if you just ask them and have an open mind about it, you're going to start to learn ways that you could serve them. You might find out that, they've bought, I'm just thinking about, you know, one of our businesses that we're partners on, and, you know, they buy one product and then they come back 3 or 4 months later and they buy 2 or 3 more of the same product because they bought the first one to test it out and they have a use case for more. Well, you know, if you know that that's the behavior, then what you should be building into your marketing system is a way to make sure that you retain that person's attention until they're ready to buy 2 or 3 more and they don't end up going to another business to buy those other 2 or 3 more. You know what I mean? Like, you would want to keep following up with that person in multiple ways to make sure that you end up closing them. And every time you have a customer that buys one, you want to work out, can I find out who's also looking to acquire more down the track and put them into like a leads list and keep following up with them. And doing that, that next order for 2 or 3 more is going to be way more profitable from the first one because you don't have to pay to acquire that customer again. So, you know, identifying opportunities where you can, in your niche, and the ways you do this vary a lot, like sell a second and a third time to the same customer, like, which is, you know, one of the 3 main ways that you grow any business, is massive for profitability because once you only pay to acquire a customer once, which in a high ticket dropshipping business is often your biggest overhead, is the cost of acquisition of a customer. But you only have to do that once. Once somebody's on your customer list, you've got their contact details, you've got their phone number, you've got their email address. They don't have to click on your ads ever again for you to sell them something else. So working out that piece of the puzzle, and I think particularly for a more advanced business, that's a big one, right? Because you've probably tightened up your conversion rate about as much as it's going to get, really, on your site. Your offer's probably dialed in, because those are things you do earlier in the piece. But what I see a lot of people who kind of get to like 1 million in revenue or 2 million in revenue or 3 million in revenue is they don't have any back end really worked out. They don't have any processes or systems around building out the second or the third sale to the same customer. And I think you can really there add, if you're at that level, you can add like, you know, 10,000, 20,000 a month profit potentially just by working that out. And that's a big jump.
We did an episode on this. It was called Do the Work, Call Every Customer. It was something we recorded after last year's live event. It is episode 215. So we'll put a link in the show notes to episode 215, or you can find it again. Do the Work, Call Every Customer is the name of the show. John kind of walks through, hey, what are some questions? Yeah, there you go. Look at that. John's wearing the shirt. You can look at or listen to some of the questions John tells you to ask every customer. Honestly, that was eye-opening for me when you said that stuff. But I do think there's a framework for this. You know, I kind of went through it in the beginning of the steps you take to get your business to, you know, a good profitability point. And then you kind of touched on this. I think there's another step of like, start ordering in bulk, send them to a 3PL. We have one here in Minnesota that I recommend to everybody. Jesse's awesome. The ShipMN or MNShip.com, one of the two, whichever one's a 3PL site. They're awesome. I have products there. We also have a warehouse here. I think John has a warehouse in Australia. You could probably talk both of us into having a product or two in our warehouse for you if you wanted to. Certainly partners, if you want that, let us know. We got that for you. And then I think the next place is private labeling, right? Like you should look into private labeling pretty fast. And I think the opportunities are everywhere. You might not see it right away, but then you'll start seeing, wow, that product sure looks like product from this vendor I carry. It just has a different sticker on it. You could do the same thing, right? Beyond that, you could launch your own product that's even better than what's in the marketplace. It's not as hard as you think it would be. We've had Brian Angel on the podcast and we're talking about this with one of our current partners is you can go acquire one of the brands you sell. It's not out of the realm of possibilities. You don't need money to acquire a business. Cody Sanchez talks about this very frequently on the internet. You probably ran into her. And so can you find one of your suppliers, that's ready to move on. And you're like, man, I really like your product. I really like what you're doing, and go acquire that brand. And now you have a brand as well as a traffic source on which you can feature said brand. So I think there's a limitless set of possibilities, but you have to start at the beginning, right? You have to start by driving that traffic directly from Google Shopping Ads to a product page, convert those people, and start learning all the steps along the way. It's the beauty of our course. I'll tout it. No one has a dropshipping course as good as ours. No one has as much content as we have. No one has the experience that John and I have. And everything that we've learned over 10 years is inside of Dropship Breakthrough, including a lot of this stuff. If you can't find it in the course, you can definitely find it in an interview on this podcast. We're at, you know, 330 episodes as this one comes out. And so there's just so much information out there that, you know, if you can't find it, I'd be shocked at this point. I feel like we've done everything we can to get that information out there. So if you still have questions, put them in the comments below. We'd love to answer your questions on how to increase profitability or what some of this stuff has looked like. And definitely go check out episode 215, Call Every Customer.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image, and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.